this is Greg with another episode of Listing Bits, and I'm very excited. I'm very lucky to have Rebecca Jensen join me for this episode. How you doing, Rebecca?
I'm great. Honored to be here, Greg. Thank you.
So awesome. This is great. I'm so glad you said yes to this. All my crazy stuff that I do, right?
Love it.
I'm not sure everybody knows your story, right? You don't have to go too far back if you don't want to, but what's your background? Where do you come from?
Well, born and raised in Utah, and I started in the MLS industry on the tech support line, answering just your run-of-the-mill, I forgot my password or my computer doesn't work. And wow. MLSs are small companies, and that MLS back in the 90s didn't have a lot of positions. So I kind of rose through the ranks of that company just by creating my own jobs, if you will. So for example, they had decided at the time to ditch their vendor solution and build everything in-house. And so they hired software engineers, and I quickly learned on the help desk that, you know, there was no project manager kind of coordinating anything. So I just kind of filled that role because there was a vacuum, and I became the project manager and went to school, got a computer science degree along the way, and
just hustled it. Hustle. I love that.
Did development a little bit, and then just kind of rose up to the ranks.
So this was, what MLS was this?
That was, at the time, it was called Wasatch Front Regional MLS. Yeah. Now, today, it's utahrealestate.com. And so I was there.
If I remember correctly, weren't they one of the first ones to implement True North?
True North Technology, yeah. Yes. Which,
see how old school I am?
That's Kurt Beardsley worked there.
And his partner,
of course,
Kevin.
Now he's at Zillow now. Yeah. So yeah, they would come down and I would create all these reports for him. So it's funny.
And the other thing, but before that, what MLS system was it?
We had Lightning.
Well, that was, Lightning. Lightning was the Access software.
Yeah,
that was my
Access,
app, right?
And, you know, I came right as they were transitioning away. So I remember Altera and not really.
Yeah. So no, I knew that was the case. I just wanted to get that out. That's how OG you are, original gangster you are on that. That's fantastic. So did you base the new proprietary MLS on any of the True North stuff? You just started from scratch?
Oh, no. We adopted part of their system and it worked to varying degrees, but not fully. And so a lot of the calls that I took were, we're going to picket your MLS and we want this, because it was buggy. Yeah, exactly. So that's where they kind of took what they had and then just tore it apart and built it back together.
So. Right. So, and then I guess Nakarado left.
Yep.
What was the transition there? I mean, you're like, so now you've done every job in the company probably, right? So why not run the place?
Many of them. And so it was, Nakarado left. And so I stepped in as an interim CEO and then kind of had to prove myself there. So, because I think I was like 29 at the time.
Jamie Christmas.
So.
How long were they, did you have the interim title on?
Several months at first under one board, and then there was some drama with that board. And I got a brand new board of directors, and then I got the actual official CEO title.
And what year are we talking about here?
2007 is when he left. And then it probably was that following year in 2008 that it was like super official. But of course, during that entire time, I was the acting CEO.
Right. No, that was right around the time we started WNR Studios too. So interesting.
Yeah. Interesting times, right? Yeah. Because, and of course, I had membership at that time was like 16,000. And every single month it was like 15,000, 14,000.
Yeah, 13. Just going down.
It's not me, I promise, right?
Yeah, it's a great time to become the CEO of an MLS going down or start a real estate software company.
And we were way behind in building our new product at that time because we hadn't, you just talked about the technology adoption lifecycle and how, right as your product is on the descent, you better have that next one coming
Absolutely,
up.
Yeah.
And so I saw that. So we were trying to double our efforts on a new product, which of course we had all finished and beautiful and delivered 6 months before the iPhone came out.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
It wasn't based on Flash, was it?
No. Yeah, luckily
thank God.
Because
there's a lot of people that made that mistake.
Oh, I
right?
know. Yeah. Yep.
That's funny. Well, that's interesting. I mean, God, so it's 2008 and now. The thing about like in the case of Utah Real Estate and others out there, the guys that are running their own built, their proprietary MLSs, their homegrown MLS systems. I mean, you are a software company.
Absolutely.
Right? I've always had a respect for MLS execs that have that as well, because like a vendor like me who runs a software company, I mean, you have the same challenges, engineers, talent, getting, you know, roadmaps, product roadmaps and everything else. And like, I guess there was a time back in the day when to me, it didn't seem like really, why are you doing your own thing? There's so many much better solutions out there, whatever. But what you find now is like, to get new features and functions and everything else in it, like these bigger MLSs, the timing is so long. You know, there's probably a better case a lot of times now for your own homegrown stuff, depending on your vendor, of course, right? I mean, you have a smaller vendor, you might have a little bit more pull with, right? I mean, again, just saying that, I mean, Lauren, I think in Boulder, you guys, I think Portland, Kathy, right? I mean, do you guys get together for drinks and like, you know, trade war stories at all?
I try to, yeah. But, you know, when I became the CEO there in 2007, I think I mentioned that we were behind on our revamp of our system. And I had the opportunity to take some courses. I was at the time going to school for my MBA, and they taught about agile product development.
Right.
And it is a night and day from the traditional type, which I think
release every 6 months, right? That kind of thing.
More frequently than that. Yeah. But it's, so it's this whole methodology that really has you identify what your priorities are. And it's something that I took to so much that I spread it across the entire company and into my personal life because, you know, we all have way too much to do. Yeah. And you got to focus on that top 20% if you're going to get the important stuff done. You can't let the bottom 80% sort of rule. So I was very fortunate to be able to bring that from the software end into the business side.
We have a little bit of that. I mean, one of the kind of things of Agile is these kind of like stand-up meetings, right? Where it's like, can't be more than 10 minutes. And Dan does that at our company with all the devs and stuff. And we've actually implemented that in sales where it's like, you know, once a week, it's like, okay, let's have a stand-up here.
Yeah.
And kind of do that. So we can bring that type of thing. Like, you know, what are you working on? Do you have any roadblocks? You know, and then kind of go down the list and hopefully that can help things out. So there are a lot of things that you can kind of best practices from other fields that you can kind of bring into business as well.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. And so then Utah real estate, you're kicking it there. You're doing well. And this MRED gig pops up, right?
Right. Yeah. And you know, I was, like I said, born and raised in Utah. My family was there, and I had several mentors over the course of my career. One of them, actually David Sharon's, like, create the opportunity to say no. What do you have to lose? And at the time, I actually happened to just be in Chicago. And so I thought, okay, I mean, I'm going to be there. Might as well just talk to them. Really never thought that it would amount to anything other than experience. And it was actually my father when they offered me the job that said, you know what, you're too young to be comfortable in your job for the rest of your career. You need to push yourself and go for it.
Yeah.
We'll miss you, but do it.
Yeah.
So
what was the jump? I mean, how many members did Utah have?
I think at the time, probably around 11,000. We were in the middle of a couple consolidations. It was right as core standards was rolling out, right? So MRED is around 41,000 now. So quadruple
that's
the size.
That's got to be one of the bigger kind of, I mean, the only one other that I could think that might be bigger or is it about that same scale would be like maybe Mary Jo, right?
Yeah, Mary Jo, I think Teresa. And
there are
a few others. And of course, now the East Coast, West Coast mega MLSs.
Yeah.
So it's ever changing.
It's always changing. Yeah.
It's on the right trajectory for sure.
Yeah. I mean, beyond that, so you moved to Chicago, right? So that's a big thing. But I mean, that's the gig. If you're an MLS exec and you want to like,
it was an incredible opportunity.
You have to
once in a lifetime. Yeah. Like, wow. Yeah. Let alone Chicago is just such a cool town, you know? And our office is not right downtown Chicago. It's out in the suburbs. So, you know, it wasn't too much of a change from going from Salt Lake to the suburbs, and, you know.
But they still had Starbucks there.
Well, it depends on the neighborhood in Utah.
But like, to me, like you also like you kind of share your time on your Rezo president for a while, right?
Yeah, I just reached my term limit on the board. Rezo. Rezo is the real estate standards organization that brings you data standards like RETS and Data Dictionary and whatnot. So I was very fortunate to be involved in the restructure of that organization 6 years ago, where it came from being a project within the National Association of Realtors to its own standalone nonprofit company that has support across the entire industry. So I worked with Leslie Walker on the bylaws. Uh-huh. And I remember writing in term limits for the board. Like 6 years, thinking, yeah, it's 6 years from now. I better be able to let this go. Yeah. So they kicked in. And it's,
but it seems like now you're just kind of taking, you know, with that organization, and you're stepping mm-hmm. now into, I believe, CMLS Board of Directors.
Right? Just barely had my first meeting. Yeah, I had to do one at a time. So very excited about the direction that CMLS is going, because like RESO, where it was an all-volunteer organization, the thing that really gave RESO a shot in the arm was hiring a full-time CEO there. Today,
yeah.
And just like with RESO, CMLS did that with Danae. And so if you want to make something successful, you've got to dedicate the resources to it. And so I'm really excited about the effects CMLS will have on the MLS industry with their best practices and maybe policy creation.
So can we go down CMLS road a little bit here?
Sure. Okay. As a brand new director again.
Yeah, no. But I mean, you've kind of looked at that. I mean, I was on the board and they had all these laws and somehow I slipped through the cracks. I think it was like, it's over 10 years, right? So I was pretty familiar with that and around when they hired Danae. But outside looking in, I mean, mm-hmm. what did you look at CMLS kind of outside looking in? I mean, beside a conference.
Well, sure. The conference was the natural, but I've also been involved since becoming CEO of Utah in 2007 with the Cove Group.
That's right.
Yeah. So I'm on the executive committee of the Cove Group, and, you know, we're some of the largest MLSs in the country. And so a lot of idea generation and like the think tank type atmosphere from Cove, I really love that. It's wonderful. And so frequently we would talk about what CMLS could be doing to boil up great ideas across the entire MLS industry and not just within the Cove Group. And so that was one of the reasons I was intrigued with the prospect of coming on the board, and I was lucky enough to get elected. So I would love to see CMLS become more of not just an idea generation, but also tactical implementation arm for best practices that MLSs should be.
What about on an advocate like, you know, thing? It's like there's always been this traditional, like, I wouldn't say rift, but separation of like, mm-hmm. I don't think NAR has really known what to do with MLSs in a way, right?
Oh, yeah. I remember many an MLS policy committee meeting that I thought should go differently. Should I say that? So when I mentioned CMLS getting into policy creation, I would love to see CMLS say, okay, brokers are saying this, MLSs, this is the practice. You know, let's give some strong recommendations to that policy committee. And CMLS has the resources now to vet them all out and come up with a well thought out solution to problems versus, you know, going to committee meeting twice a year and listening to what you're going to have to do as an MLS operator. I think that the process can be better and CMLS can help.
Yeah, I'd look forward to that. I mean, I think to me, I see like a little bit of a intrepidation, like really voicing what they think because of fear of like backlash from their own membership or from the large maybe broker community or whoever else. And I've always hoped that CMLS could be that kind of voice for, even though that, you know, you may be able to say things, but as a group, you guys have decided on something and give that policy out, but still have, you know, that intrepidation go away a little bit, even though I think it always will be there, right?
Well, with CMLS or even within a board meeting, there's a lot of discussion that goes on. We, you know, the pros and the cons. And, you know, at the end of the day, when the motion passes, even the people that might have been opposed to it can at least say that they were given a shot of expressing it. And there's that level of transparency and you can feel comfortable speaking with one voice. I see that happening if CMLS creates this forum to where, yeah, we're not all going to agree about everything. But at least if you have a forum to get all of the ideas on the table and then a course is selected, you know why. I think that that is extremely helpful. Again, so it's not just, you know, somebody says you have to do this and the answer is because. Nobody likes that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you're busy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, what drives you? What drives you now?
You know, I really love working. I love accomplishing things. I love doing big things. And I'm just optimistic by nature. So I see where I think I can contribute the most, and I go towards that the best I can. So
what do you see, like, you see anything now at the show? I mean, we're here at the Inman Connect show in New York, but I mean, mm-hmm. is there anything downstairs in the Startup Alley or other things that you've seen that have piqued your interest at all that you kind of think, wow?
Yes, I am totally intrigued with big data and data sets and having data to make better decisions in business. And so there are a number of products out there. Do you want a specific one?
Sure, sure.
Okay. So I had a demo with a company called Remine.
You know what? And David Sharon told me about those guys too. He said I should check them out.
It was really compelling. Yes. Yeah. So I saw a demo.
Is it a product? Is it something they're delivering to an agent, like an app or what?
Actually, it's more desktop. They said it's responsive design. They're working on an actual app. But just the different data sources that they put together to correlate particular profiles of potential people that might sell their house or to help buyers. I mean, the use cases that they have in there are
that reminds me a little bit of Krishna's thing, that TLC. He did the same thing where he brought a lot of data together to kind of like come up with like a, not his estimate, but his total living cost or whatever it's called. Like,
yeah, that's a great example too. Great products, but I love how you can have all of these different factors that will affect real estate.
Yeah.
And so it's no longer just, you know, the listing information. You've got to be able to pull in all of these other things because they absolutely matter.
So. No, absolutely. I mean, I think there's a lot out that, you know, this big data has been a buzzword for a while, but seeing those kind of products come to market is going to be kind of interesting to how they use it. I was asking David if they had an API, maybe it's something that could be integrated into current apps like our apps or others that might make sense, right?
Yeah, I discussed that possibility with them. And
I know you're all about like all the vendors working together, right?
It's like, I am so for that. Yes. Yeah. We've got not just that, but I mean, we chartered a work group at Riso for data analytics. So I see that as being completely in alignment with where I think the MLS industry should head. And certainly where I'm going to.
What's any predictions for the future, like 5 years, 10 years?
Well, definitely to have more integrated software and business entities. So, you know, Riso working with CMLS, working with NAR. So that's on the sort of the political side, but APIs driving your product, working with somebody else's product seamlessly. So at the end of the day, both the consumers and their agents don't have to worry about it working. It just does. You know, don't make it difficult. Make it awesome. I see the electronic transaction being more streamlined. That's a project that we are currently tackling at MRED, is to try to make transaction management platforms talk to each other so that the cooperating brokerage and the listing brokerage don't have to devolve into printing and signing paperwork, right? Which is crazy. So things like that, they just need to work together. It takes work to get that done, but it's not impossible. It can happen.
I mean, I see all that integration and like, that's why, I mean, I was talking to somebody else about this, but like, maybe it is the future of like these different apps just talking to each other because I haven't heard of anybody coming on the scene of building another MLS vendor, right? I don't think there's anybody out there excited about building another MLS system, right?
I haven't heard of any.
I mean, so to me, it's all about taking the existing apps out there and the database is the database. And you can call it a chartered front end, you can call it whatever you want, but just making that data accessible that other apps and products can be used using that data to do what they want, right?
Yeah, accessible and secure, though. I still think that that is a value proposition of an MLS, is to make sure that the data that's being used is being used appropriately and per the terms of the license agreement. So, but again, not an insurmountable thing. It's just, it takes a little bit of hard work, but there's a lot of value there.
And you know, another thing, you do so damn much. So the other thing you were working on, and I guess I read an announcement about, was, weren't you with BPP also?
Yes, Broker Public Portal another integration point, right? So BPP just finalized the deal with the partner HomeSnap. And so now that that's finished, MRED has been involved at the board level of BPP for a while now. And so we, last summer, in anticipation of this deal being done, it was just with the attorneys at that point, we launched it and it has been awesome. We're over 25% adoption in just a matter of months.
That's great.
And so our next step is to integrate the HomeSnap product into our MLS system so that it can send out the client email notifications through this beautiful app. So consumers,
yeah, when they get that, I want that for Cloud Streams as well. I mean, API for that kind of stuff. I think that's supposed to be in some Rezo standard coming up.
That's the beauty of data standards, is it makes things just easy.
But it's not a traditional vendor partnership. I mean, your guys are the same company now, right? Is that
HomeSnap? Yes. So their CEO is the CEO essentially of the Broker Public Portal. They have three boards involved. So HomeSnap, which is its own company with its own board of directors, and the Broker Public Portal has a different board of directors. So those two companies are still existing as they were. And then there's a new board that's the joint venture board that is a very agile board at 7 people total, 3 from the HomeSnap company, 3 from the Broker Public Portal, and 1 sort of that both entities agreed to, which is David Sharon. So that JV board is what will decide the strategic direction of HomeSnap. But all of the branding will be HomeSnap, the Broker Public Portal. We want to be known as HomeSnap because that's more of a consumer-friendly name than the Broker Public Portal.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Well, if it made sense to you guys.
I don't know. It's easier to have a diagram than try to...
Yeah, I mean,
explain it, but
it's certainly not traditional, right?
So, no, it's not.
Yeah.
But, you know, you hear a lot of talk about, is it something that actually could be viable? And I think absolutely, because, like I said, in a matter of months in a marketplace with 40,000 agents, you know, we're already at a quarter of them using it. And, you know, millions of client connections are going on just in our market. So I think that we'll definitely see the economies of scale on that project as more and more MLSs across the country adopt it.
So. Right. Yeah, I've been following it a little bit closely now, just now that I think the deal was like, it looked like it took forever to get done, but it finally got done at this thing. So that's cool.
Nothing ever moves fast enough, right?
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Well, this has been great. I mean, so how can people reach you? I mean, are you on Twitter? Are you on, you know, I mean, or just MRED?
Yeah, just through MRED.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Not going to spend time on that. You got no time to spend on social media, for crying out loud. You're too busy.
I occasionally check it. It's fun. But yeah, Jeff Lasky is my go-to for all of that.
Jeff,
he's
of course.
Awesome. Everyone loves Jeff.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on this. I appreciate it. Good luck.
Hey, thank you,
right.
Greg.
Bye.
Bye.